When Rude agreed to do the didgeridoo this Sunday, he was sitting next to me and he said, "Can I say a few words about the didge?" And I said, "No." But the main reason was for what happened. It's like when we start talking about the story, we sometimes don't let our heart have the experience. And we were in agreement afterwards that it worked so well that...
Wait.
It always works when people obey me. I'd like you all to remember that. But there was something magical that happened because no one was thinking about it. They just had this heart experience. And I really appreciate what you were just mentioning, Bob, regarding how we got to where we are in our life. In this process of forgiveness that I was speaking about on Sunday and has been going on since Courtney's piece, and David spoke about it in Riverdale as well, and it's the Pulse of Spirit this week. Sometimes people forget the side of forgiveness that has to do with themselves. That maybe I judged myself too harshly, or maybe I didn't really... in reviewing it, I think I didn't do it right, but maybe what I did was perfect. Either way, to free yourself up from the story of what actually happened allows you to be present. And David was just saying in service prep about the kind of life you've been living got you here. And I want to be continuing in the impulse of that which I've been serving for 40 years. I was thinking about David and I met in this room in 1992, I think it was. Is that about right? And we were vastly different people. There was this exercise of, I don't remember, body something. But, you know, it was all these people were having this really sensuous experience, and we had just met, and it was not like, I just said, you know, I am Italian, so I could be passionate about this kind of thing. But it was setting our friendship in place because we were holding something of our own integrity in the midst of something that we were not necessarily in agreement with. It doesn't mean that it was bad. It's just that that's not where we were going. And so there are decisions I have made saying, I'm going to be of service and be in my integrity that don't always get remembered accurately by the people who were elsewhere in the story. But to understand that you were in a space of your own integrity at the time, you cannot remember the details, so you have to start forgiving what seems like consequences. Okay, so maybe this isn't making as much sense as I'd like. I have had the experience of wishing I could go back and undo something when, in fact, I was in heaven when I was doing it. And I have to trust that. Being in that place, being in the space of heaven and of service, got me to where I am now. And if I need to review it and forgive it, it's fine. But I really am most interested in where I'm going. And I'm most interested in being in the place where the revelation of myself is holy and of service. I woke up this morning. I have this friend in Nigeria who, no matter how many times I tell her about the time difference, calls me at 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. And, "Jane, EDL, Nigeria." So I can hear it even though I'm not picking up the phone because it's down. One time Kiahi stayed in my house and she heard this woman. She goes, "What is happening?" And she didn't know how to turn off the answering machine. So whenever she wakes me up at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning, I often then am in weird sleep as a result because I'm not in that circadian rhythm thing. So I had a night of, I was up from 1 till 5:30, just thinking and overthinking. And I finally fell asleep for an hour and I woke up and the first thought I had was, how can I serve today? What is it that love wants me to do today? I am designed for this. I am a magnificent... Let's just stop there. I am magnificent. I am magnificently designed to deliver that into the world. And so are you. But Do we want to propel ourselves forward with that identity as opposed to the constant review of factors that we don't actually remember accurately? Or we remember with bias. Let me say that. Because whatever was happening, whatever we felt at the time, has stayed with us. Adam was sharing a story about the possibility of going back to a friend and telling them something that happened years ago and how it really hurt you, and they don't even remember. I've had the experience the other way, too, where someone really changed my life and blessed me, and they don't remember either. Because of the circumstance of how they spoke to me, really saw me, really loved me, took me in a direction that was of heaven, and they didn't even know. They weren't doing it to manipulate the circumstance. They were just being themselves, being a loving being in the situation, just being themselves. When you spoke of this reunion, Bob, I dated this guy in college, and he was a Vietnam vet, and he had body tics and stuff as a result of what he went through. And I was in Buffalo about 10 years ago, and he happened to be there as well, and he wanted to see me. We were good friends. It was not a weird breakup or anything. But he started to tell me stories about what he actually did in Vietnam that he was terribly ashamed of. And it was part of the camaraderie of how you could feel okay about doing awful things. And I realized he wasn't telling me to shock me. He was telling me to relieve himself of a story he had been carrying a really long time. And he said, if anyone knew what I really did, and I said, I hear you, I love you, thank you for serving, and I'm sorry you had to do it. But to just say it sometimes allows the self-forgiveness to happen. To see, I did this, and I was, quite honestly, he was out of his mind. He was scared for his life, and he was not who he was as a being, and he needed to find his way back to being lovable. So the forgiveness, I mean, I couldn't forgive him for what he did. I didn't judge him for what he did. But sometimes in the process, there is the opportunity for us to hold heavenly space for a person's story to be heard by a heart who has forgiven themselves, so that the space and the safety in which they're telling the story is real. When my father was in the Navy in World War II, speaking of guardian angels, he was a radio man, which was, they were at the front, and like 80% of those guys didn't survive because they were at the front lines. And so out of the blue, this nurse came up to him and said, we have to figure out some kind of surgery that you need to have. And it probably saved his life, because he didn't get sent to the front. There are ways in which angelic presences have allowed us to be survivors so we can continue to lead a life of creative love through a human experience. And the only way to do it fully and powerfully is to forgive, to be open, and to know you are perfectly designed to do it. So Gary's going to read a poem, and after that, David will speak. Thank you.